A day that could be viewed by the defenders of Thermopylae as a triumph of obduracy had been passed by the admirals at Artemisium in a very different spirit. Unpleasant surprise had followed fast on unpleasant surprise. The Persian fleet may have been storm-battered, but it was very far from finished. Throughout the early afternoon, as squadron after squadron limped past Skiathos, rounded the headland of Magnesia, and began massing on the shore opposite Artemisium, the Greeks watched with a mounting sense of despair. Never before had any of them seen the sea so black with shipping. Even after the havoc wreaked by the storms, the Persians could still muster 800 triremes, sufficient to outnumber the Allied fleet by almost 3 to 1. Not even the accidental blundering into their base of 15 enemy ships and the capture of their crews had done much to cheer the Greeks. Now that they could see the Persian fleet before them, a bare 10 miles away across the open sea, there were many who began to argue for a second withdrawal, and urgently, before the barbarians could complete their repairs. This talk had grown louder and louder, to the consternation of the locals, who were already twitchy at the prospect of being abandoned. Soon they had sent a frantic delegation, first to Eurybiades, and then, when he turned down their request, to Themistocles, begging the allies to stay. Themistocles, who was as appalled as the Euboeans at the prospect of evacuating Artemisium, had nevertheless cheerfully demanded a backhander for his services. Having salted most of it away for himself, he then used the surplus to grease the palm of Eurybiades. This was hardly the style of backbone stiffening favoured by Leonidas, but it was just as effective. Eurybiades and the other admirals duly agreed that the Allied fleet would stay at Artemisium and hold the line. No sooner had the High Command resolved this, however, than it was thrown into renewed panic. In the late afternoon, at around the same time as the Immortals were advancing against the Hot Gates, the Allies hauled a Greek deserter from the enemy fleet, one Scylius, out of the sea. The news he brought was sufficient to chill the blood. The enemy, Scylius reported, while the main body of their fleet was being repaired, had detached 200 seaworthy vessels to make their way unseen down the eastern coast of Euboea, round its southern tip, and then back up its western side. Here, raising its head again, was the Greeks' worst-case scenario, that they might find themselves bottled up, with the barbarian both ahead of them and blocking off their escape. A moment of mortal peril, to be sure. And yet, as Themistocles was quick to point out, Scylius's intelligence spelt opportunity as well as danger. Detach a sizable squadron from the fleet at Artemisium, send it down the straits between Euboea and the mainland, trust to the gods that the patrols off Attica would pursue the 200 Persian ships when they caught sight of them, and it might be the barbarians who found themselves trapped in a vice. All a massive gamble, of course. But the Greeks, if they were to have any hope of halting the Persian advance, had little choice but to trust occasionally to audacity and luck. A resolution was duly passed, to put to sea and meet the enemy ships that were sailing round Euboea. Naturally, since it was essential not to alert the barbarians on the opposite shore to any thinning of the main fleet at Artemisium, the detachment would be able to leave only after nightfall, and after the Greeks had demonstrated to the enemy that they had no intention of cutting and running. This they did by boldly venturing out from their positions into the open sea, challenging the Persians to attack them, which the Persians, confident in the crushing weight of their numbers and the greater skill of their crews, duly did. Even as the sun began to set behind the western peaks of the mainland, their fleet was sweeping down hungrily across the open channel, swamping the much shorter line of the Greeks, looking to envelop it and end the war there and then. The Greeks, however, anticipating this tactic, had prepared a manoeuvre specifically designed to counter it. Forming themselves into a circle, their rams pointed outwards, like the spines of a hedgehog rolled up tightly into a ball, they then moved out suddenly to the attack. The Persians, in the close fighting that followed, found their superior speed and agility negated. Some 30 of their ships were captured, and when twilight, deepening over the Aegean, at length brought the fighting to an end, it was the Greeks, to their astonishment and delight, who could claim the honours of the engagement. Barbarian seamanship, it appeared, might be defeated after all. No better Philip could have been imagined for those crews facing a perilous nighttime voyage.